So back when I was in college, my freshman year, I met a girl named Meadow, fell in love with her. This was our first date that we ever went on. This is us going to an event called Famous Couples. So yeah, bacon and eggs, most famous couple ever, right? Am I right?
Right.
So I fell in love with her. We started dating. We did eventually get married. So, and of course, I'm still married to her. And so she's our children's director today. But when I wanted to marry her, I had a problem. I was broke. I was a college student. I didn't have any money. And the ring I wanted to get her, it was like $2,000. And I was like, what am I going to do? And so I found like this ad for a drug study, you know, where they test medicine on you. And they were paying $2,500. Now, keep in mind, this was back in like 1999. So $2,500 was even more back then. It was a ton of money. And the reason it was so much is because they'd never tested this on humans before. There was only five of us that they let into the study. I'm dumb. This didn't seem dangerous. I get in there, they bring us into this building. It's kind of like a hospital facility. They put all five of us in this room. We each got our own hospital bed. And they start administering the drug to the person on the first bed. I'm on the fifth bed. They give this person the drugs. They wait 10 minutes. 10 minutes later, they give it to the second person. 10 minutes later, they give it to the third person. 10 minutes later, the fourth person. 10 minutes later, to me. No problem. We're sitting there, we're talking, we're hanging out, we're reading our magazines. We're like, you know, one of us probably got a placebo, which is, you know, placebo is the fake medicine. It's just kind of like to see how people respond. And well, we're thinking this is great, we're trying to figure out who has the placebo. We don't know. About an hour into this study, the guy on the very first bed sits up and he's like, hey, I don't feel very, he starts choking and like dying right there on the bed. These doctors and nurses rush in and we're all sitting like, oh, that's not good. And like, they're all working on him. Like they get him out of there. But 10 minutes later, the second person sits up. Hey, I don't feel, starts having all these issues. The doctors and nurses rush in there. 10 minutes later, the third person, they sit up. They start choking. Doctors and nurses rush in there. The fourth person to me, look at us, like, one of us got the placebo. And one of us is gonna die. Oh, you laugh now. I wasn't laughing then. 10 minutes go by, and the lady on the fourth bed, nothing happens to her. She looks at me. She didn't really do that. But she could have, because I knew I was gonna die. It was like I'm watching the clock tick down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I completely missed the danger because I felt in love. You know what I'm talking about? Right? I missed how dangerous it was because I felt love for Meadow, so I was like totally blind. Have you ever missed something that should have been obvious to you? Like some of you have gotten into a relationship and it should have been obvious it was going to be a bad relationship. And when you look back now, you're like, why didn't I see that coming? Some of you have gotten in over your head financially. You got way too busy. Some of you are completely stressed out. Some of you got into a job that you knew, like probably should have known it wasn't a good idea. Some of you got a ticket from a cop for driving too fast and you should have seen that one coming. Whatever the situation is, you missed the signs. You missed what you should have seen. And you are or you were like, I should have known. Why didn't I see it? Hey, have you ever felt that way about anything? Would you just give me a big yeah right now?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right, let's go ahead and write this down. This is what I want us to remember today. Open your eyes or you'll miss the prize. Open your eyes or you'll miss the prize. Let's all say that out loud together. Even anybody watching online, say it with us too. Open your eyes or you'll miss the prize. Look, God has great things in store for you. That's why you're here today. But what happens is we lose focus about what God wants to do in our lives. All right, this balloon right here represents God. Okay, I know it's not an exact depiction of God, but this represents God for us today, okay? Here's the assumption that a lot of people make. You're over here. God is way over here. And you're going through life and you're feeling like, man, I'm doing my thing. I'm doing my stuff. And God, like, you know, he made the world. He created the universe. But he's like out there. Every once in a while, he like checks in. But you don't feel like God's speaking to you on a regular basis. Every once in a while, when something goes really bad, you're like, can you hear me? I could really use your help right now. I know you've said stuff like this, right? Like, God, where are you? You know. But did you know that God is actually trying to speak to you today? Probably yesterday. Tomorrow, he's going to try to speak to you. He's very close. One of my favorite Bible verses from all time. This is 2 Chronicles 16. It says, "The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." God is looking for people to support right now. God is in heaven and he is looking. It's not so creepy when he does it. But he's looking at your life. He is watching you because he wants to be involved and speak to you and talk to you and give you support. Look at Psalm 145. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. I'm going to read this again. And would you shout out the word near and then the word all when we get to it? The Lord is near to all who call upon him. We should get that in our brains. Let's write this down. God is still active today. He's speaking to me. But here's the question. Do I know how to pay attention? Open your eyes or you'll miss the prize. The problem is we don't know how to hear God speaking to us. So we do the only thing we know how to do. We feel like God's over there and we start living off of our feelings, how we feel. Now my two-year-old does the same thing. Do you ever have a two-year-old? Anyone here have a two-year-old? They live off their feelings, don't they? Right, I mean, just how they feel. If they want cake and ice cream for breakfast, that seems perfectly reasonable to them. I want cake and ice cream. Yeah, you're not getting cake and ice cream for. I want cake and ice cream, and you just, I'm not going to give you cake and ice cream because as adults, it's our job to teach little kids not to base their lives off their feelings, but to base it off their brain. Right? Give me an eye for what I'm talking about. Right? But then we become adults, and what do we eat for breakfast? We're sitting there, our kids looking at us, and we're like, what you looking at? When you're 30, you can eat ice cream for breakfast too. I know you parents have said stuff like that to your kids. You feel like I got a camera in your house yet? And then, it's not just with breakfast, it's with all sorts of stuff, right? Like with our decision, well, what should I do? Should I feel like, and instead of basing our decisions on our logic or on God talking to us, we base our decisions off our, I just feel like I should, I want to. Let's write this down. Problem is, I rely on my feelings or signs so much that I actually miss what God is doing. If you miss what we're talking about today, you're gonna miss what God's trying to tell you. Today's Easter. I don't want you to miss what God's doing in your life. We're gonna read the Easter story from the Bible, and I want you to watch, and this is important, I want you to watch how the disciples, the followers of Jesus, missed what God was doing because they were living based on their feelings. Follow me with this? Follow me? All right, well, we're gonna read the story. If you grab your Bible, open it up to Luke chapter 24, you're gonna see how they're following their feelings instead of what God had said. You're gonna flip to page 858. I got a Bible near you somewhere. Now on page 858, you can see that big 24. That's the chapter number. Verse 1, 2, and 3, you'll see the little numbers. Now there's not a number 1 because at the beginning of the chapter, they don't put the number 1. So chapter 24, we're gonna start right at that big 24. While you're getting there, let me set this up for you, okay? These people, the disciples, they call them, the followers of Jesus, had followed Jesus for 3 years, all right? They were super close to Jesus. They knew him really well. He was their Messiah. They believed he was gonna be the king of the nation Israel. They were so pumped because they knew Jesus was gonna take over the world. And then the Roman government arrested him. They're like, what? And then they put him on trial. And then they put him on a cross. And then Jesus died. They're over there. They don't know what God's doing. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and Jesus is dead. Yeah, someone during the last service texted this in. They said, why do we say 3 days later when Sunday is only 2 days after Friday? The Bible says Jesus was in the grave for 3 days or three nights, but what it doesn't say three 24-hour cycles. That's just colloquial language. He was in there for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then he rose. So all it means is he's on there three different days, not three 24-hour days. So that's why. But Jesus is in the grave. He's dead. His body's getting cold. His disciples are disillusioned, freaked out. Let's read what happened. Verse 1, chapter 24. On the first day of the week, that's Sunday, Very early in the morning, so for everybody here, probably like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm just kidding. The women took the spices they had prepared. This was like their burial tradition. They took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone. They had giant stones that covered the graves, the tombs that you couldn't roll away. It took a lot of people. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. All right, so he wasn't there. Now, let me explain something that they didn't know yet. When Jesus came to this earth, he wasn't coming just to be king of the nation Israel. He was coming to become king of everything, everywhere. And he had more in mind than just being a political ruler. He came to save us from our sins. We know this. They didn't know it at the moment. When Jesus went to that cross, everything you'd done wrong and everything I'd done wrong, and let's go ahead and be honest, if you've ever done anything wrong and sinful, just go ahead and say yeah. Yeah, right? We've all done it. Everything you've done and I've done wrong was put on top of Jesus, and God punished him instead of punishing you. You and me deserve to be punished. You offend an eternally good God, that's eternal punishment in hell. And instead of punishing us in hell, God punished Jesus right there on the cross. And he took our bill. It's as though someone else paid your bill. Jesus willingly did this. He suffered more than any of us will ever suffer by being on the cross. Because of that, if you just believe, you ask Jesus for forgiveness, he's already paid your price. You get a free ticket to go to God, a free ticket to go to heaven, because Jesus already went through every torture and pain to pay your way there. You don't have to work your way to God. You don't have to work your way to heaven. You don't have to pretend to be good. We don't pretend around here. We just say, you know what? I screwed up in this area. I want to get better in this area, and I'm really glad Jesus has already forgiven me for that. Amen? But here's the deal. The ladies going to that tomb, they didn't know yet. They show up, and I want you to picture this. You go to your friend's grave who died 3 days ago. You get there, it's dug up. The coffin's open, the body is gone. They're like, what? God, what are you doing? What's going on? Well, look at the next verses. Look at verse 3. We're going to read 3-8. When they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Clothes that gleamed like lightning. That's the Bible's way of talking about an angel. Okay, it's not a Prince concert. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember this. It says, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man, that's Jesus, must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rised again. And then they remembered his words. Okay, seriously, Jesus said, hey guys, I'm going to die. 3 days later, I am going to raise from the dead. Jesus died. 3 days later, his body wasn't there, and they're like, what happened? They forgot. Let's go ahead and write this down, right? Open your eyes or you'll miss the prize. Ways that God spoke, but Jesus' followers missed it. First of all, Jesus said he'd return from the dead and they forgot it. They forgot it. Okay, I'm gonna give you something that they did wrong, and then the next line is gonna be our lesson. So what are we gonna learn from this? If God makes something clear to me, I must believe it and I must stand on it. All right, this balloon represents Jesus telling them personally, I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise from the dead. Open your eyes or you'll miss the prize. Now listen, in the next few weeks, I'm gonna tell you exactly, as we go through this series, I'm gonna tell you exactly how to know what God's saying to you. It's not hocus pocus, it's nothing weird. It's gonna be so clear. But let's just say this. If we aren't expecting God to speak to us, then we aren't going to be listening. And if we aren't listening, if our eyes aren't open, are we gonna see what God's doing? No, because God's not in the business of coming down and slapping you until you wake up. I mean, he'll put you in situations to get your attention. But if you're going, you're not going to see it. But if you believe and you're expecting that God is trying to speak to you today and tomorrow, you're actually going to have eyes that are open and you're going to be able to start to see what God is doing. Open your eyes or you'll miss the prize. Look at the next verses. Here's the next mistake they make. Verse 9 to 11. When they came back from the tomb, okay, so the women are coming back, they told all these things to the 11, that's Jesus' closest followers, they call them the apostles, and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and others with them who told this to the apostles, right? So there's a bunch of ladies there. But the apostles, they did not believe the women because their words seemed like them to nonsense. All right, here is another way that they should have known. The women witnessed it. They told them. They weren't crazy people. These were smart women who'd followed Jesus, who loved Jesus, who Jesus trusted. They come to them and say, hey, we saw it. And they're like, no, you didn't. Let's go ahead and write this down. Here's a way they missed it. There were wise witnesses who were honest and loved Jesus, who told the truth. They just missed it. They didn't listen. So here's what we're going to take away from that. If I get advice from wise, God-fearing, Jesus-loving people, I will take it. Open your eyes or you will miss the prize. Man, my feelings, they tell me to do 1,000 things that my wise, Jesus-loving, God-fearing friends will be like, hey, yo, Jeff, that is not a good idea. Sometimes I do it anyway, and then I have to pay the consequences for that, don't I? Sometimes I listen to them, and I've opened my eyes, and then I can get the prize. You know, a number of years ago, I was at McDonald's with Levi, the guy who was singing on stage with us today. Levi, raise your hand over there. That's Levi over there. So I was at lunch with Levi. We're at McDonald's. I want to give you the setup so you understand what happened. Okay, I'm sitting here. Behind me is the soda machine. There's an exit right there. We're on like one end of the McDonald's. On the far end, you know, there's another guy sitting way in the corner. There's a trash can over there. There's a doors way over there, right? So I'm sitting there talking to Levi, and there's other people coming in and out, and it just hits me. Okay, I want to tell you something, but I don't want you all to think I'm weird, okay? Jeez. Let me try again. I'm going to tell you something. Just listen, all right? This isn't normal. All right, this is really weird. But I'm sitting there, I'm talking to Levi, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. It was like I could hear God talking to me. It wasn't like a voice, but it was just like I knew, clear as day, tell that guy sitting in the corner, he cannot walk away from God. I was like, whoa, okay, that was weird. That was weird. I was like, I'm ignoring that, right? Just keep eating my food, but it wouldn't go away. Tell that guy in the corner, he cannot walk away from God. I'm like, oh, that's just strange. So like, I'm talking to my buddy Levi, right? And Levi loves Jesus. He's really wise. He is God-fearing. I've seen it in his life for many years. He's not just some hack who says it. So I'm like, you know, I'm just going to tell Levi so he can tell me I'm crazy. I'm like, Levi, look, I think God told me to tell this guy over there that he can't walk away from God. Isn't that crazy? Levi goes, he kind of leans back and starts to smile and laugh, and he goes, you need to do that. You're a bad friend. And he actually leans forward again. He's like, no, really, you need to do that. And I'm like, oh. So I like start to make a deal with God. By the way, this is not how you do it, okay? I'm starting to make a deal with God. I'm like, okay, listen up, God. I know this guy is sitting on that side of the McDonald's. I know there's a trash can over there and there's doors over there. I actually saw him come in. His car's over there. I know he's not coming by me. So here's the deal, God. If you really want to talk to me, he's got to come to me. And I was like, ha. And God's like, I'll take that deal. The guy gets up, goes to the trash can, dumps his food, starts to walk to the door to go outside, and then he stops, turns around, looks right at me, and goes. And I'm like, oh, crap. I'm like, what? And then I realize behind me is the soda machine. He's getting a refill. I'm like, refills don't count. But the guy comes like right beside me. He's like a foot away from me, and I just go, hey. And you know how you just say hey when you're walking by someone, you just kind of nod and keep going? The dude goes like this, hey. Now I got to tell him. I'm like, so this is gonna sound kind of weird. I think God wants me to tell you that you can't walk away from him. And his mouth drops open. And I said, does that mean anything to you? And he goes, yes, it does. I got to think about that. And he turns around and walks out of McDonald's without getting a refill. Now, at first, it seems like I was following my feelings. But I wasn't following my feelings. What was I following? The advice of a wise, God-fearing, Jesus-loving person like Levi. You know, as we go through this series, I'm going to tell you how to tell the difference between what you feel and what God is telling you. And one of the ways is when your wise, Jesus-loving, God-fearing friends tell you, that's not a feeling, that's God, do it. That's one of the ways, or don't do it. That's one of the ways to know. But it's important that they're all three, right? They got to be wise, God-fearing, and Jesus-loving people. There are some people who appear wise who don't fear God. I'm not talking about them. There are some people who love Jesus, but they're still not wise. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about people who fear God, love Jesus, and are wise, because they can hear the voice of God. They can feel the presence of the Spirit. They know what's right or wrong. They're wise people, and they can talk to you about what God wants, right? Don't fall for someone who just pretends to be one of these. I got Levi. He's in my corner. He's going, you got to do it, man, right? And what I wouldn't have normally done, and it's not a feeling anymore. We don't follow our feelings. We follow God's voice. All right, the next one. Let's look at verse 11 and 12. Someone texted in this question right before you turn there. Someone watched online text and said, how do I know if someone is wise? Great question. Proverbs says a couple things. The beginning of wisdom is this, fear God. And so if they don't fear God, or it says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And so if they don't fear God, they're not really wise. So you got to start there. But we just did a series it was through the book of Proverbs, talked all about wisdom. So go back online at revo.church and listen to those last like 8 or 9 sermons. It's going to talk about wisdom and you'll be able to identify some people that way. All right, verse 11 and 12. Oh, and someone texted this in too. This is online. Someone said, I bet that study was a psychological study, not a medicine one that I was in. Like they're still watching me right now. And like they're watching online right now and they're like, he's still talking about it. Like those guys aren't dead, they're laughing at me. All right, now I'm tripping, thanks. All right, let's go to verse 11. See if I can not be freaked out. All right, verse 11. All right, it says, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed like them to nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen by themselves that Jesus was buried in. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Okay, let's write this down. Ways that they missed it. The evidence was there. Peter saw the evidence, but it seemed too incredible to believe. So we need to say, I'm going to follow the evidence wherever it leads, even if it's incredible. Look, we think evidence is important here. I don't ever want to hear anyone in our church ever say anything even remotely close to, just believe it, just have faith. That's not what, we want evidence here, right? We actually follow evidence. We believe science is good, like archaeology is good, because if it's true, if God is true and Jesus rose from the dead, then the evidence will be there. Right, we want the truth. And so like on our radio show that we do at truthrevolution.tv, we talk about the evidence for Jesus' resurrection. It's all over. I'm going to talk more about it a little bit later, but I think this is hilarious. Peter sees the evidence. You got Peter, this guy who just, he does stuff without thinking about it. Know anyone like that? He gets an impulse and he just goes. And so Peter hears, wow, Jesus rose from the dead. And everyone's like, no, we don't believe it. And he's up and he's running to the grave. Now, Peter was Jesus' lead disciple. Okay, this is a pretty big evidence. Peter gets there, the burial clothes are off. There is no body. Jesus said, in 3 days, I'm going to rise from the dead. The ladies say, he's risen from the dead. We saw an angel. Peter gets there, his clothes are there, but Jesus is not there. And Peter's like, what could have possibly have happened? I have no idea. Like, hello, Peter. It just seemed too crazy for him to believe. And sometimes we don't want to do what God wants us to do because it seems crazy. You know what I'm talking about? You want me to forgive who? It's too crazy. But if the evidence is there, if God says, hey man, you gotta forgive people, then you gotta go there. And if that's what the evidence says, God, you want me to do what? Some of you right now know that God's been asking you to do something, you just haven't done it. Because it seemed too incredible to you, too crazy. Look at verse 36. So this is going to be like the next column over. We're going to skip a section. So it's going to be right about the middle of the last page of 859. All right, 36. While they, the disciples, were still talking about this, okay, they'd gotten together, they were talking about what they saw, what had happened, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking that they had seen a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? Why do you have doubts in your mind? Look at my hands. Look at my feet, right? Because he was crucified. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. All right, so here's another evidence. Jesus actually comes to them and says, hey guys, think about it. I said I was going to rise from the dead. The women said I rose. The tomb was empty. Jesus shows up and says, look at me. And they go, wow, must be a ghost. Let's write this one down. The evidence was there, but they were trying to come up with other explanations. And some of y'all have done this too. If I know what God wants, I won't try to find, quote, a way around it, an alternative explanation. Way too often, God will speak to us, but we've closed our eyes. Right, open your eyes or you'll miss the prize. Way too often, God speaks to us. We'll know what God wants. Like you might know God wants you in church. You might know that God wants you to stop using drugs. You might know that God, fill in the blank for you. You know what it is God's asking you to do. And we're like, no, man, I got to find a different explanation, right? Like, God wants me to be happy. And this wouldn't make me happy, so it couldn't be from God. If you find a way around what God says, you've closed your eyes. And at that point, it is us. We are moving away from God. And then later on, we're going to run into problems and we're going to have a bad time. And then we're going to say, God, why would you allow this? And that's not fair to do, is it? If we close our eyes and walk away from what God's asked us to do, we can't complain when we face problems. That's not fair to God. Open your eyes or you'll miss the prize. Look at verse 44. Jesus said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses. Okay, that's a part of the Old Testament in your Bible. The prophets, that's another whole section in your Bible. And the Psalms, that's another whole section in your Bible. All right, so Jesus basically comes to them. He says, hey guys, there is some really good evidence here. And you should believe at least on the evidence. If you don't believe me standing in front of you, it myself, believe what the prophet said in the Bible. Okay, the prophets, this is a really cool thing, by the way. I said we like science and stuff like that. We love math and statistics too, because you can't lie with numbers. So Jesus fulfilled hundreds of prophecies. You read the Bible in the Old Testament and it says, hey, Jesus is going to come from this family. It says the Messiah is going to come from this town. All these different things. There are hundreds of prophecies about what the Messiah is going to be like. You add it up, you do the math, and it's incredible. It says things like Jesus is going to die and rise from the dead. It says the year it's going to happen, the actual year that it's going to happen. It says that he's going to die in a tree. It says that he's going to be pierced. It says his hands and feet will be pierced. It said there won't be any bones broken. I mean, it goes on and on and on about what will happen. And if you add up just 42 of these, you can go to our radio show and look this up. You add up just 42 of these and do the statistical probability on it, the odds that you could fulfill even a third of the prophecies that Jesus did, let's just say it's more likely that you're going to wake up tomorrow, win the Kansas State Lottery Powerball, win another Powerball the next day, get an airplane crash, see a meteor hit from outer space, have twins, have quadruplets, and then die in a bus wreck. You have a much better chance of that happening to you tomorrow than of even fulfilling some of the prophecies Jesus did. It's mathematically impossible. You should go listen to the statistics. What Jesus is saying is the statistics, man. The prophecies. Just listen to what the Bible said. It's telling you clearly it was me. And they didn't listen. Let's write this down. All right, God's word prophesied the resurrection would happen. If I read God's word, I can know exactly what God wants from me and what to expect. Like, guys, you got to read the word of God. This right here. Do you know what the Bible says? Open your eyes or you'll miss the prize. Open your eyes or you'll miss the prize. You know, I need someone to come up on stage with me here for just a minute. Yeah, come on up here, Gabby. All right, let's go ahead and welcome Gabby up on stage with us. All right, come on up here. Come on down, John, or whatever your name is. I don't care. It's time for Revolution Live, and you're about to play Blindfolded Bucks for a chance to win $1 million. Just 20 bucks. Sorry. Just 20 bucks. Let me try again. Cheapskate. Your chance to win $20 in blindfolded bucks. The rules are as such. We will blindfold you. We will hide the $20. And if you find it in 10 seconds or less, then you get to keep $20. Welcome to Revolution Live. Good luck.
Crazy. He's good looking, though. All right, so I'm going to blindfold you, and you're going to try to find the $20 in 10 seconds, all right? Come on over here. All right, I'm going to put this blindfold on you.
How am I supposed to find it?
Well, this is the point of the sermon. All right, can you see through that?
I can see, like, the bottom.
The bottom? That's all right. Okay, I'm going to turn you and face you this way for just a minute now. All right, I'm going to go place this $20. I might place it on the piano. I might place it on a balloon. I don't know. I could put it anywhere. You just don't know. So, all right, let's go ahead and count down. Wait. Let me face you the right way. All right, do you know where the front of the stage is? Good. Don't fall off of it. All right. Let's count down together. Go find the 20. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, I'm so sorry. You didn't get the $20. All right. I'll show you where the money was. Do you want to know what? You see it? Yeah, it was just lying on the floor over here. Now, here's the deal. Don't go away yet. We're going to try it one more time. He said this time you're going to try it with your eyes open. All right. I'm going to hide the $20. All right. Let's go ahead and count down. 10, 9, 8, 7. She found the money. You get to keep it. Yeah. All right. Go ahead and sit down. Thanks, Gabby. All right. Now, if you haven't put together the point of the illustration yet, let me say it for you. Open your eyes or you'll miss the prize. Can you say that with me one time? Open your eyes or you'll miss the prize. Now, that was about 20 bucks. But for you and me, it's the voice of God. Some of you have been stumbling around. I think it feels like God wants me to be over here and you're going the wrong direction, even though it feels right because you've closed your eyes. You haven't opened your eyes. You haven't been listening to what God's trying to tell you. Someone texted in and says, where is the verse that says, where's the verse that says God wants me to be happy? The answer to that question is, there is not a verse that says God wants me to be happy. There is many verses that say God wants you to be holy. There are many things in the Bible that say when you have the Holy Spirit and you do what God wants to, you will have love and joy and peace in your life. But when you pursue happiness instead of the words of God, you're blindfolded and you get lost. I want you to be happy. God does, I think, want you to be happy, but he wants you to be happy long term, not just the next 10 years. He wants you to be long term happy, 20, 50, 80 years, a million years in the next life. You know, God is doing stuff all around you. He's trying to talk to you, speak to you. It's not spooky. It's not some hocus pocus like, you know, there's churches or people like, I'm going to like pour oil on you and blah, 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 like do weird things around you. And that's not what we're talking about. You know, when I say God is speaking to you, we're talking about things like, do you know what this says? Do you have a wise, we call them jerk friends here, a wise jerk friend, a God-loving, wise person who will tell you the truth? That can understand what God wants. But you gotta understand something first. Would you read one more verse with me? This is verse 45. Right? The disciples missed the prophecies, they missed what God said in the Bible, they missed it all. How do they miss it? Verse 45, Jesus is talking. It says, this is talking about Jesus. It says, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Now, if I had another hour to talk about that, I would. But let's just put it this way. Until Jesus himself, until God opens your mind, this is not going to make any sense to you. We got to be praying, God, I want to see what you see. I want you to open my mind so I can hear what you're telling me. Because I know I've been closed off. So there's three things that I'd love for you to do. Okay, let's take it home. Let's write this down. I will open my eyes and pay more attention to what God is doing. That's the first thing. More than my feelings. Second thing, I will pray that God opens my mind. Okay? Just pray, ask God to open your mind. God, tell me what you're doing around here. I want to know. And three, I'll come back for the next few weeks to learn exactly how to understand when God is telling me something, all right? Can you do that? Look, if you come for the next 3 or 4 weeks and it's not useful, you don't ever have to come back. But you don't have anything to lose. Like, God could actually be trying to speak to you. And what if he is, and you can learn how to hear what he's telling you in the next few weeks? What if you could learn that? I think it's true. You know, I got to finish the drug study story. Some of you are still wondering what happened, right? Yeah. All right, so the timer's going down. 5, 4, I know I'm going to die. Hits 1, and I'm like, nothing happens to me. I look at the lady beside me, and she's like, maybe there's 2 placebos? I'm like, I don't know. We don't know. I don't know what happened to the other people. Everyone's been asking me this morning, like, so did those other guys die? I'm like, I don't know. They didn't let me see them or contact them anymore. As you pointed out, maybe we're still in the study. I don't know. I don't know what happened to them. All I know is I'm alive, and I think I'm alive for a reason. God's brought me through many situations where I should have died. If you've heard enough of my stories, you know that's true. Amen. Right? God's brought me through a lot, and I think I'm here to help teach you that God wants to speak to you, and God really does have something to say to you. So I hope you'll come these next few weeks and just check it out, because I believe God really wants you. I mean, could you just imagine? What if God really is trying to speak to you and tell you what he wants for you, and you can hear him? Could you imagine where you could be 2, 3, 5, 10 years from now, where your family could be if you have kids, or eventually if you have kids, or what your family could be like 15, 20 years from now if you're in the middle of what God wants for you instead of bouncing around all over the place? Wouldn't that be awesome? I hope you'll come back. Open your eyes or you'll miss the prize. Let's pray. God, I pray that you'll speak to us. Give us wisdom to know your voice instead of just our own feelings. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a great week.